Next, we're joined here in studio by Noel Cunniff, and Noel is the CEO of Wind Energy Ireland. He was down here in Tralee this morning attending a meeting with Tralee Chamber Alliance. Good morning to you, Noel. Thank you for dropping into studio here. Tell us a little bit more about your meeting, Wind Energy Ireland's meeting with Tralee and with Tralee Chamber Alliance.
Good morning, and thanks very much, Tressa, for having me. Delighted to be here. Wind Energy Ireland, to give some background, we're the all-island representative body for the wind association, or for the wind sector, both onshore and offshore. So we represent all aspects of it, ranging from companies that identify locations, either onshore or offshore, to develop projects right the way through this entire supply chain, be it the banks, the planning companies, the haulage companies that help deliver these wind energy projects right around the country, and then ultimately help to maintain and operate them. So I was delighted to join the Tralee Chamber Alliance this morning for a breakfast briefing with one of our members, Enercon, who are the one of the world's leading manufacturers of wind energy projects here in Ireland. Globally, I should say, and their base is here in Tralee, in fact. So Enercon would employ about 80 people here in the county, and then about 180 people right around the country. And it's just one of the examples that we have here in Kerry of the wind sector providing employment. There's hundreds of people right around the county that help to build and maintain these wind farms, and that are part of the ecosystem that we have here in Ireland to deliver wind energy.
Notwithstanding all that, Noel, a study from the ESRI, the Economic and Social Research Institute, last year found that most people are opposed to having wind farms or pylons anywhere near their homes, that only one third of people surveyed would willingly accept a wind farm within 5 kilometres of their home. Doesn't the wind sector, wind energy sector, still have a long way to go to win the hearts and minds of people?
There's definitely always more that we could do. I think it depends on what type of survey you're looking at. I think that survey was predominantly more looking at towards the electricity grid and electricity pylons, as you mentioned. What we've seen year on year in the majority of surveys that are being carried out is that support for wind energy, generally speaking, amongst the population of Ireland is very strong. There's about a 4 in 5 support for wind energy, and the main benefits that people recognise from this are cheaper electricity, cleaner environment, and lowering of CO2 emissions. So a lot of people might not realise this, but about a third of Ireland's electricity came from wind energy last year. So if you can imagine, 1 in 3 times last year when you turned on your light switch, or you cooked something in your oven, or you binged something on Netflix, it was powered by wind energy. So that's a really great success story for the environment and for the sector here and the employment that it creates here in Ireland.
But why then is there so much opposition? And I can think to myself, in Kerry County Council, for the current county development plan, councillors voted to restrict wind farm development in the county. There's a now that was overruled by the minister, but there's a feeling that places like Kerry, that the bulk, or that too much wind farm development is being focused on these areas, that it may detract from tourism, and that other parts of Ireland, there doesn't seem to be the same focus on wind farm development there.
So Kerry, you're exactly right. Kerry is the number one producer of renewable energy in Ireland at the moment, and that's something that the county should be proud of. As I mentioned, there's a lot of people that work here in the sector. Kerry's got a lot of wind farms, all right, that are providing energy not just to the county but to the rest of Ireland.
Number one.
The next number one. Yeah.
And where are those? Where is that statistic based upon? That's fascinating.
The amount of wind energy that the county has in comparison to the rest of the island. So about maybe 20% of Ireland's renewable electricity comes from the county at the moment, which is tremendous. And as I mentioned, it's something that the county definitely should be proud of. And based on the discussions I was having this morning with the local enterprise and the local business, it's definitely something that they feel attracts businesses to the county, that there is that renewable energy there. I completely accept that we as a sector need to get better, and I think we have gotten better at communicating to communities and bringing people into the development process of a wind farm at a much earlier point in time. it would be extremely rare now for any wind farm that's being developed, be it onshore or offshore, to go into the planning system with the exact same layout, exact same format that it had at the very beginning of the process before it engaged with communities, because the people that live in the area, they know the area better than anybody. So getting that type of information, understanding it, helps to develop projects in a way that brings communities on board, that takes on board their ideas, their knowledge of the local area, and that often leads to things like turbines being dropped or turbine heights being reduced or changed locations, that type of thing. And ultimately then that helps bring projects into planning, and hopefully for Ireland's sake we'll get them through the planning process in a way that is supported by communities and that can help deliver then cheap, renewable, clean energy for the island, which is what we're all striving for.
And what are the plans in relation to offshore wind energy?
Yeah, so that 34% of Ireland's electricity that I mentioned earlier is all onshore wind energy, really. We only have one very small offshore wind farm here in Ireland. It's off the coast of Wicklow that was developed in 2004. So we are very much a late starter when it comes to offshore wind energy. But the plans and the potential that we have here in Ireland are exceptional. We're very much the envy of Europe when it comes to the wind speeds that we have here and the overall amount of maritime area that we have. A lot of people, again, might not know this, but about the sea area that Ireland controls is seven times larger than our land area. So we're actually one of the largest countries in Europe when you look at our geographical area, but 7/8 of us is underwater. So that creates obviously some challenges, but a lot of opportunities there as well. So for offshore wind energy, we're going to start developing those projects initially predominantly off the East Coast. There's five projects that will be going in for planning there this year, and there's one project off the West Coast off Galway. So those six projects will be going in for planning permission, and they'll be competing in what's called a renewable auction to get a contract from the government that will help them then develop and build, and they should be operational by about 2028. For the west coast of Ireland then, that's where the real prize is for us as a country. That's the key to our energy independence as an island and to help support energy independence for Europe, with particularly floating offshore wind energy, which will take off on the west coast in the early 2030s. And in the mid-2030s, we as a country should be energy independent. We should have a zero-carbon electricity system that's helping to power our homes, our businesses, power our vehicles and heat our homes, as well as we try to electrify our lives.
And there are also plans for a multi-million euro offshore floating wind farm off Valentia Island, and the government is considering an application for a foreshore license with regard to that as well.
Yeah, there's many projects around the island that are at that point where you need to apply for what's called a foreshore license to be able to survey the area. So there's a lot of different types of considerations that go into identifying a good location for a wind farm, be it the wind speeds, the wave heights, what the sea floor looks like, the biology, the ecology in the area, the sea mammals, the birds in the area. All of that then is done through these surveys, which typically take about maybe 1 or 2 years, and you gather that data, you gather that information to try and help inform a planning process on where you locate these turbines. So applying for that license is exactly the first step.
Finally, could I come back to the concerns of communities, rural communities who are opposed to wind farms, and they would say, you know, they would argue, they have many valid reasons for opposing wind farm developments, for opposing wind turbines. One of the points they might also make is, I live in a small area, and we are expected to support these vast structures. Some people would call them eyesores, that might detract from tourism, that might distract people from or turn off people from coming or visiting the area. You talk about the economic benefit, how this is, how wind farm development not only is it good for the environment, but it is good for counties like Kerry, where there are so much of the industry is based. But that person living in a rural area where there are several turbines doesn't like the look of them, feels there are eyesores, will say, well, they talk about the economic development, but when I go to my local village, I can see the pub is closed, we can see the shop is closed, I don't see or receive or feel any economic benefit from having these turbines, these massive structures here. What would you say to that person?
And I think those are very fair, I think, feelings for a person like that to have. But what I would say to kind of give the other side of the story is that, as I mentioned, Kerry is a leader in this area and has been for decades. And a vast majority of the wind turbines that were built in the county of Kerry were built in early 2000s, mid 2000s. Tourism has grown in the county massively since then. So it clearly isn't having an impact on the amount of tourists that are coming into the area. Wind farms are paying about €5 million a year in commercial rates to the county. So that's 10% of the commercial rates of the county that uses investment in footpaths and roads and schools and libraries around the county. So it is really having a material impact. And then, as I mentioned, there are jobs right around Kerry being provided by Enercon and many other companies here. There's hundreds of jobs. So I completely understand the feelings that are there. I think there's a lot that the sector needs to do to try and educate people more, and we need to tell our story a little bit more, because it isn't obvious, it isn't on the tin exactly what we're providing to the county, but trust me, it is there, and that's something that we're working on to try and spread the good news that wind energy provides to counties like Kerry a bit more, so that people can really feel and understand it and understand how it impacts their daily lives for the better.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We've been joined in studio by Wind Energy Ireland CEO Noel Cunniff. Noel, thank you so much for joining us.